This is for all the girls who grew up without strong geek role models to help them discover their geek dreams.
For everyone who's ever been quizzed about their video game knowledge because girls don't play games.
Geek Hearing is working to bring female-identifying geeks into their prime to be the role models, dreams, and voices.
About to show these boys how we do it.
Higher, further, faster, baby.
It's not about deserve.
I'm not an owl!
A girl has no name. There is something supernatural at work here.
It's about what you believe.
Did I step on your mom?
Wingardium Leviosa.
Now on,
you do as I do.
You may the odds be ever in your favor.
Are you ready for this?
Are you ready for this?
Welcome to Geek Herring, a critical geek culture podcast where we talk about intersectional and inclusive feminism in a male-dominated environment. Hi, I'm Amanda, and with me today is my awesome, hilarious, and old podcast co-host, Moni.
It's not wrong. It's really not wrong. Hi, thank you. Reporting for duty, old person.
Hello from the Old People's Club. I salute all of us.
Well, this is where we're at. It's been a rough couple of years. I feel we can all feel a bit old from time to time. How are you doing otherwise?
I'm doing good, well, old. I'm feeling like there's just so much going on right now. And I have to take 2 weeks off of work just about, and doing 2 weeks worth of work before I go away is actually like really fucking awful.
Yes. As a fellow self-employed person, I can only subscribe to this.
Yes, it's awful. It's not fun. And then while also trying to do all of the things, like the last minute things that I need to do for the wedding, and still trying to maintain a semblance of a social life, because I apparently am incapable of saying no when somebody says, hey, would you like to go to a Stitch and Bitch with me tonight? And I'm like, hell yeah, let's do it. And I'm like, That's how I am. And then I gave blood yesterday and like decided that I had to go to bed at 7 o'clock. Yeah, I'm so tired.
You officially really 100% reached old age.
I did. I went to bed and I watched like 4 episodes of Buffy and I just dozed.
I mean, great. You stayed awake for four episodes of Buffy. That's the most impressive thing about all of this.
I also made popcorn and ate it in bed.
What a life.
Sometimes it was pretty great.
Being an adult is amazing because you can do whatever the fuck you want.
And it's true.
Popcorn in bed and whatever.
Yeah. So that's how I am. How are you?
Tired because I've been left for my own sleeping schedule for way too long now. And it's absolutely fucking horrendous. And it's getting worse every day. And I don't know how to get out of it. It's like a weird fucking addiction. And I don't like it anymore. At the same time, I don't know how to stop. Night we've reached a new high with going to bed at like 2:30 during the like on a Wednesday. So
is that a high or a low?
Well, it's a low. Mm-hmm. It feels like, for sure, feels like a low today. It's just this revenge procrastination thing is really like sometimes spite really fuels my life with the ability to stick to things, but sometimes spite is like really, really like a stab in the back. And this is what it feels right now. It's just like this spite of, this is my time and I can do whatever I want and I'm doing it even though I hate it. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Spite is normally great. I agree. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah. But at least we're here now.
Wherever here is.
But we have something that we want to talk about that we are actually kind of excited about. I think, like, I'm excited about it.
I'm quite excited also about curious, it as well. I just, yes, let's just dive right into it. We are geeking out about She-Hulk.
Yes, She-Hulk.
Because there's a lot to geek out about.
More specifically, the series, because neither of us, once again, has read the comics.
Of course not.
We are the horrible, horrible TV series comic book nerds, not the actual comic book nerds. Mm-hmm. But fuck yeah, She-Hulk.
Fuck yeah, She-Hulk. Okay, first of all, we're not gonna unspoiler anything in here from this point on. Spoilers galore. If you haven't seen it, what the fuck's wrong with you? Go change that and then come back and listen.
Exactly. It would be too difficult to not spoiler at all.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your opinion? Like, how do you, like, when you watched the first episode, what was your opinion? And let's then go from there, I think.
The very first episode, I was like, I had mixed feelings, actually. I was like, it's good, but it's also like a bit different. And also, and then there's also the hair. So like, I have some issues, but yeah. Yes, I liked it, but I almost thought that it was like a little bit too silly. But then I quickly got over that with like the rest of the episodes. But the first one, I was just like, oh, really?
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really notice that you, because we exchanged opinions on it just short, quickly about it when we started watching it. And I didn't realize that you were kind of meh about it, actually.
I thought that there was like some really excellent points made early on, like, mm-hmm. and I was like, this is going to be really different from the other Marvel shows, especially in terms of like real lived experiences of women. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was fantastic. But then I was like, but it's also like kind of OTT. And then I very quickly over the top, like it felt like it was just a bit much, not with that stuff, but with like the fighting and I don't know. But then I got over it. And then I was like, actually, this is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
But that's like just a super honest opinion on the first episode. I mean,
we don't want dishonest opinions anyway.
True.
I watched it. I think I don't know if I watched the first one alone or if I watched it together with like in a bunch, like with two of them, could have happened. I don't remember now. But I started to watch it and I was like, this is incredible. I love this. This has the potential for me to go like right at the top of my favorite Marvel series things, just because it had everything I kind of really enjoyed, right? It had like this humor, it had like this women's point a few of things, and it had this humor that I love from Ragnarok, like this is kind of, and I just really really enjoyed it. There are obviously also things where I was like but overall I just really really enjoyed it, with a couple of things where I'm like, not the best.
Okay,
but go ahead.
Do we want to talk about the not the best things or
yes.
Okay, I'm going to start because I already brought it up a little bit. And we talked about this in our Discord as well, a little bit. She-Hulk's transformation from Jen to She-Hulk. Jen has this really cute bob of like curly hair. And when she transforms into She-Hulk, it is like this luxurious blowout. And I was like, I don't have curly hair, but I was disappointed that they didn't keep the curly hair with She-Hulk. And somebody brought this up on our Discord who does have curly hair, and I hope she doesn't mind, but I'm actually going to quote her. She said, "The big deal is that people with curly hair are often portrayed as unwanted or different and needing it to be straightened to fit in. They could have just given She-Hulk longer curly hair. Why must the pretty curls go away?" And I totally agree, because like it annoyed me right away. I was like, oh, sure, she's got beautiful, big, straight hair, like, woo, and I was interested to hear like a curly haired woman's opinion on it, because I felt that with not having curly hair, I was like, what a missed opportunity, especially for the actress as well, whose name is gone from my head, but I really like her because I've been watching her since Orphan Black, and her name is
she's also not the one who is acting as She-Hulk. I think they have a stand-in person who is She-Hulk when she's She-Hulk.
What?
I saw an image. Are you? Is it a shocked information? I saw an image of the actress that plays Jen Walters and the person who is I don't know, standing in as her when she's She-Hulk, who is like almost twice her size. Let me look. Maybe I can find
it. I'm reading it right now.
But that's unrelated. Even if it's a different person, that doesn't change the point that it is, basically, which is should have kept the curly hair, which I totally agree with. I also don't necessarily, in general, don't think that she looks like the hair is so great as no. She-Hulk. Like, I'm like, eh. I also, and I heard Rick say that in their chat as well, that genuinely, I don't necessarily think that they did the She-Hulk transformation very well. Like, she looks a bit weird in a weird way. Like, it's the animation of it. I don't know. And I know that, and I've realized this in a lot of movies, like, that are going, like, in the past couple of years, that animating people is harder than animate, or it looks like it's harder than animating animals. Mm-hmm. And my assumption is it's different to and you would think that it's like way different to animate, or way more difficult to animate animals because of like all the fur and things. But I feel that always looks more realistic than when somebody animates a person. And I think the reason for that, or at least which for me, is that we see people every day. Like, you don't see a lion walking around every day and spend every fucking day of your life with a lion. So you don't really necessarily know how realistic it is, because all you see is it potentially from a picture, mm-hmm. or from like some documentary or whatever. But it does look like it's a lower animation budget, Rick says as well. And I think it's true. Like, I feel like something is giving me off vibes when I look at her. It's not that I'm like, oh my God, this is incredible. I'm like, yeah. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if she looks worse than Hulk does himself in the animation. And I also didn't really feel it when they were in this first episode, when Hulk kind of tried to train her and tried to make sure that she's not losing her shit and whatever. I didn't notice it that much in those series, but definitely then later on, I'm like, this is weird somehow. Mm. Like, this doesn't go well with the rest of the surroundings for some reason.
Mm-hmm. And I also would say that I was a little bit disappointed that she wasn't buffer.
Who? Like, you were disappointed?
I was a little disappointed because, like, the Hulk is massive and... Like that, yeah. the transition from Bruce Banner into the Hulk is like, Bruce Banner is not that big of a guy, but the Hulk is like gigantic, like in terms of his muscles and his, yeah. like even the width of his shoulders. And like, this just looked like a woman who hits the gym a lot. Like, it didn't make me think like, oh, this is a Hulk, except for, you know, she was green. And like, that was kind of the only thing. Otherwise, I was just like, oh, this is a really well, like... a woman who goes to the gym.
Yeah. I mean, Rick is making a good point. They're saying that they think that the point of her getting the luxurious blowout as She-Hulk was to drive home the point of Jen not being able to find acceptance or love as herself, and people were far more interested in She-Hulk. But that point doesn't come in until like episode 3. So before that, it's just like, why does she have to be so glamorous or something? Mm. Which, yeah, I can see that. What I didn't really super massively vibe with, I think this could have been a great story somehow of, yes, Jen accepting herself as Jen more and not needing to hide behind She-Hulk. But I don't think that this kind of was actually driven home like that. I feel like, yes, there were moments where it was like, you need to accept yourself as yourself, and it's kind of scary that it's not great that you need to hide behind your alternate ego to feel like accepted and loved. But I didn't feel that this was really fully driven home to the point where she's accepting herself as herself enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it still even by the end of it, that there was a separation there.
Yeah, that herself. She would feel like, yeah, my She-Hulk persona is amazing and I'm just this other person that is carrying her or whatever. Like, yes, there is a bit more of acknowledging that it's like having this best friend that's prettier than you while you are actually that best friend that's prettier than you at the same time. But it didn't feel like there was any resolution to this situation for her. She still was like, quite excited that she had this, that she had the ability to be that and do that.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is kind of sad, because I feel like you could really do that. I mean, but we're also talking about the first season, so potentially this is an issue for something longer. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Ton says, I honestly think they have the blow up because that's what she looks like in the comics. Yeah, and I know that the comics are also like with straight hair, but then basically this issue also dates back to the, and then you can pull it back to the comics as well. Like, why do they need to do it in the comics? Why can't you have curly, gorgeous girls in the comics too? Mm-hmm. But I also don't know how old She-Hulk is in its creation, so potentially this could also be a historic baggage that we're carrying.
I don't think the She-Hulk comics are that old, actually. Well, the first one was 1980, and to be fair, in the early comics, like, her hair was quite wavy.
Okay. Hmm.
So yeah. And her hair has been all over the place in all the comics. I don't actually think that's a good argument. Because the comics have She-Hulk's hair in all different styles.
Taunt, this is not a good argument. I'm sorry.
They have straight, they have wavy, they have curly, they have short, they have long, they have up, they have down. So just like a woman
would have her hair
all different, so too does She-Hulk. In the comics.
Yeah. We tried.
Yeah. I was all there. I was like, well, you know, yeah. Sorry, you're wrong.
It's also, I've seen a bunch of images from comics and they were all straight in there as well, or straightish enough, I would say. So yes, I would have come to the same conclusion. Had I not actually just Googled it right now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. What did we think of the storyline otherwise?
The storyline was great. I mean, it was very much a comedy, which is a nice change to the very serious Marvel shows, which, yes, have comedic elements, but I feel like this was just purely a comedy. Like, this was a fun show, like a sitcom, not even a sitcom, but it was a fun, like, funny show. And I liked that. And I liked that there was only kind of a loose actual like plot story. Whereas each episode was kind of standalone with its plot, like with what actually happened in it. But then obviously with everything with Emil Blonsky going through it, and like his role and Titania's appearances, and like then the role is based, or the story is basically men feeling threatened by She-Hulk's power, because why should a woman have this kind of power, and how can they take it and steal it from her?
Yeah, I had a couple of issues. Like, I had always with every episode, I had a feeling that this was too short. Like, I sometimes thought, well, how the fuck is this over already? Mm-hmm. Like, and this, I had this way more in this with this series than I had it with any other ones. And they're all kind of around the same length. Like, Loki episodes, they're also like, what, 40 minutes, 30 minutes between something between those lines. So I always had that kind of like, why is this over already?
Mm-hmm.
And then I feel like we had a couple of storylines that we were walking through until the very end. And then what was this ending? Like, on the one hand, I think it was hilarious. But on the other hand, I'm super not satisfied about this ending, because I feel like, what did I watch, what, 8 other episodes for now? I didn't get an answer to a single one of those things that we've been talking throughout this, even sometimes more subtly than other times. But what is this ending now?
I know.
Like, I feel like I had this, and I thought it was funny, and it was what it was like with the screen, and then the Kevin, and then it was an AI and something. I really thought it was funny in and of itself. But for this to be the full ending of the season, I was like, what was that now? Like, what? I have no answer to any of the things. And what do you want from me now?
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of made me a little bit disappointed, to be honest.
I had similar feelings about the last episode. Like, I know she had been breaking the fourth wall throughout the entire series and, like, talking to the audience, talking to the narrator. And, like, I did like that. But the last episode with her just, like, disagreeing with the ending that was written and going and, like, going into the Marvel studios and seeing the writer, the writer's room, which, to be fair, was like an entire room full of women writers, more or less. And I was like, that's quite cool, like, that they're showing that women are writing the show. And then going to seeing Kevin. And, like, deciding to change the ending. And I mean, I do like it in a way because it's showing, like, a woman taking control of her story and taking her power back and deciding that actually this is the ending that I want to see. But it was a bit weird.
Yeah, like, I fully understand. I'm fully behind all of this. And just because, and yes, as you say, like, because she's also saying it, like, why does this need to be like every other one? Why can't this not be like the way I would want it to go, right? So all of this, I think, is incredible and I love that. But then what was it in the end? It wasn't really anything. Like, they just made a couple of people go away and then all of a sudden it was over. Like, there wasn't even like, okay, then this is how you want it. Let's follow this to the end, like how you want your story to end. Let's follow this a bit for like 5 minutes. But that's not what it was. She just went there. They changed it all up and then all of a sudden it was over. And I'm like, so we're not getting anything more? Like, we're not getting information on the Hulk King guy aside from he's not going to be Hulk King now? And what's with the guy that fucked her and, like, took all her information? And what is with Blonsky? Is he a problem now? Is he not a problem? Like, there are so many things where I'm like, I have no answers to this right now. And even if it's like, yes, this would have been other storylines, I feel like it would have been cool to see this transformation of how she wants it to end. It just ended all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. And yes, great, it was daylight, whatever. I don't give a shit what time of day it is. And all of a sudden, everybody was happy and walking away. So it just felt not at all substantial in the end. Even though we had like these really serious things, well, kind of serious things during a comedy going on. And we just in the end made a joke about it and didn't give it enough time, I feel like.
Yeah. And go ahead.
And I feel like with comedies and bringing home important messages like she does, like there's so much important information in it, which is why all the fucking incels hate the fucking show, because it's not about them and it's calling shit out and it's showing stuff that they don't want to hear, right? And then and packing it with comedy is always so important because I think that's how people will understand it better. But then I feel like it just left me down in the end.
Yeah, and I was just going to read out there what Rick has said in chat, that the only solid threading storyline was her blood being stolen, and she just voided it at the end with no explanation as to if it meant anything. And I think that that's my big issue with the end story, like with the ending episode, is she was like, I don't really want to do this. Like, you know, let's just make it a happy ending. We're not actually going to conclude everything, and it's okay because I'm Bonk and Daredevil.
And Bonk and Daredevil. Yeah. Yeah.
Who likes me for me?
Which is great. And I love that.
Absolutely great. Yeah.
But it's also like tiny bit problem where I'm like, I don't know.
I'm disappointed that it seems like the entire series is like boils down to her just finding a man, just like every other story.
Yeah.
Like every other female-led story.
So Ton says, I like the ending because it would basically like, let's not have the formulaic ending. What does that mean? What is formulaic?
Like the ending that runs by the formula.
Ah, okay. Yes. Yes, I can like that. But I would have liked to see how you can end story threads that have been planted from the very beginning in a not formulaic way. Other than, let's just not do this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like she says, let's not do this, and I'm okay with that. Like, I'm okay with not having a massive battle showdown bullshit or whatever. But like, what else was it then?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why have I watched? And it sounds like I'm way more critical than I am. I really still have really loved it. And I hope there is a second season. And then it's really still high up in my I really, really like the show list.
Absolutely. And I think that it's important to be critical of the media that you really like as well.
Yeah. But for me, it feels a bit like, okay, I was very invested because somebody, not only like in the what second season, somebody wanted to stab a needle in your arm, which is like super vile, like it's very violent. And like, it's like this cross of absolute fucking everything, consent, boundaries, everything. And then in the end, we just say, doesn't matter. Even though everything else in the show was about how much women already like suffer, and that was already unique. Well, suffer and have to live with, and what they have to live with, right? And this was so important throughout this entire series. Then to in the end say, whatever, mm-hmm. is not that big of a deal. Let's just be all friends and happy and have a great dinner together and yay Daredevil. Was kind of like a bit disappointing in the end. And mm-hmm. not and I know that you can't have like this massive glorious whatever endings because you want like you're building up on new seasons and you're building things and stuff. So I'm just like, they can't put it all out because maybe something needs to come in the next episodes, but at the same time,
Tom says in chat that the main story was actually her and the Abomination, Emil Blonsky, and in the end she did her job as a lawyer instead of some blood stealing plotline. And that's fair. That I think that's a good point, because it is about like ultimately her. The story is attorney at law. Like, this is Jen Walter's attorney at law. And then like trying to marry her life of She-Hulk and the successful lawyer that she is. And then like getting thrust into situations where she has to defend the Abomination, who had issues with her cousin, the Hulk, Bruce Banner. And so, yeah, I think that's a really good point, Tom. Because she did her job as a lawyer, and that is, I guess, the nuance of the show, is that all of this goes on, but there's still, you still have to do your job. This is like a message to me.
I don't know if I see that in that story, though. Like, yes, I see what you're saying, but for me, this I'm doing my job as a lawyer ended when she did her job as a lawyer, and then that, like, well, with the Abomination, it don't feel like, yeah, they met again, but that wasn't, to me, that wasn't lawyer meeting anymore. Like, she got him out of prison, he's doing his weird shit in this retreat situation, and yes, they meet up there and she's kind of looking, but this is I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I also have thoughts about the Abomination, Emil Blonsky, as a character. Like, obviously, before he went to prison, he was this very toxically masculine kind of person, man, abomination thing who did really bad, violent things. And then he went, like, being in prison, he went, like, totally the other direction, where he was peaceful, he was meditating, he was, he's gone down, like, this full spiritual path. And so, like, yes, I understand that the point of the story there is that it's possible to like to turn your back on toxic masculinity and like embrace, you know, peace and calm and stuff. But I think that there needs to be maybe a more middle ground for men. Like, it doesn't have to be one or the other. There can be like a nice middle ground. Like, yeah, you don't need to subscribe to toxic masculinity, but you don't also don't have to do yoga every day and commune with the fairies. And I say this like as a super spiritual person, but like there is a middle ground. And like showing that for men, like I took that as a like a very like what healing from toxic masculinity is, but I don't think it has to be as far as that all the time.
Hmm. Yeah. Did that lose you?
No.
I think I'm lost here. You.
I can hear you.
Your face is not moving.
I'm moving my face.
Why is your face not moving?
I don't know, but can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
Well, then let's just carry on, because this happened to you earlier as well, and I didn't make a big deal of it.
Oh, no, but I have my screen also went black for a second, so this is why I'm more concerned about the situation than just not your face not moving.
Okay.
Rick says, I suppose there's an argument that she didn't do her job. Sure, she managed to get him out and vouch for him, but her judge of character was wrong and he breaks parole and ends up back in jail. That's going to be a mark against her as a lawyer. Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. I can see that. He was in prison for a long time. Maybe we need another Marvel show. Abomination is the New Black to see his early years in jail.
Abomination is the New Black.
That's amazing.
I would watch that. That'd be so funny.
I would also watch that.
Something else that I was disappointed in, and actually I just want to say, I think it's really funny that we're mostly talking about like what we're disappointed in, but we both really love the show. So going by like social media, my current nemesis and especially following Jameela Jamil, who played the role of Titania. I thought that she was going to have a much bigger and more important role and perhaps even
be
the quote unquote bad guy in this. Like, I thought that was going to be the conflict was, and there was minor conflict, I guess, between Jen Walters and Titania. It's Titania. I don't know why I keep saying Titania. But I really, really thought that's who it was going to be. I think we died.
Nope.
Oh.
I just put your screen back on somehow.
Okay.
You're moving again.
Thanks. Okay. Cool.
Yes, Titania. Bad. Badass evil.
Yeah. I thought that there was just going to be, like, a lot more of conflict, but it just seemed like anytime she showed up, it was kind of... It was more annoying than, like, the big bad.
Oh, and me too. Same. I totally agree with you. I also was expecting, based on her social media, I was like, this is going to be incredible. She's going to be the supervillain of the show. And then she was kind of just this weird, overly comedic sidekick thingy that was, as you say, actually a bit more annoying than anything else. I don't fucking care if you like punch out your veneers and shit.
Yeah. It was, I was a bit disappointed in that.
Yeah.
Because I have so many questions about Titania as a character. Like, she is a social media influencer, right? How did she do that? Why does she have superpowers? I don't know.
Erin is saying, did I you hope know she that the show is maybe bigger? Like the episodes. I don't understand what that means. That she's bigger in next other seasons.
The first episode was supposed to be the last episode.
How does that work?
I don't know.
Isn't that when she was put into prison and stuff? Like when like the first episode was when Abomination was put into prison, right? Like out of prison.
When we see him in prison, he's already been in prison.
I don't know how that would have
worked. So is it just some time loop?
Let's do the time warp again.
Okay, enough. Weird. Tearing this apart. What did you like about it?
I liked that it was clearly not written for the typical audience that is usually watching this. I'm just putting this under air quotes because it's not necessarily true what I'm saying. Because it really wound up a lot of people saying how shit this is and whatever. And I'm just like, maybe this is not for you. Maybe this for once is a show that is not for you because it was written with a different audience in mind. And I feel I'm that audience. I feel the show has been written for you and me and for other people who love talking about what we're talking about and who love a good, like, fun, yet educationally kind of thingy. And I feel that's what I love about it. Like, it was the fun that I enjoy, like I do with Ragnarok and things. So that's my kind of humor. And I feel like this show really hit my kind of humor in a lot of points. Rick is saying, but Moni, I'm a cis, white, straight male. Everything is supposed to be for me. Yes, this one is not though. Maybe so. This is what I love.
I agree. I think it hit all of that. It was great. I enjoyed all of that that you're saying, and I really liked the fact that it was very real about how a lot of women experience life in a city, like dealing with men and catcalls and the endless array of dating kind of shitty dudes, and like trying to find one that actually likes you for you and doesn't just like bail on your date halfway through or is talking to somebody else on Tinder while you're still on the date, and just feeling like really disappointed with this endless stream of shitty men who apparently all belong to like a white toxic masculinity, white weird men club.
Yeah, I like that. Kind of maybe is a bit
so it was very, very real.
Yeah, I think so too. And I actually mm-hmm. really think Jen Walters is adorable. I just think she's love so her. Cool. Like, I like her more than I like the She-Hulk version of her. But it's just, I just think she's really, I don't know, she's just really funny. She's just like sassy and everything. And I like that about her.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I like what Aaron's put in chat. It was a breath of fresh air and held a mirror up to male society. And there was a nice guy, Pug, in the law office. Because there are those nice men out there.
And they sent in the thingy.
Yeah, the one they sent in at the end to like expose this.
Weird. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, he was great, and like I just loved it. Like I loved that whole interaction, and like then the friendship between like Jen and Nikki, like her best friend and like her paralegal, and like that kind of unconditional friendship where you're gonna stand beside your friend no matter what, but also like I think encourage her to not be quite so rigid and structured and everything, and like to maybe try to do things a little bit different. Like I think that there was a lot of elements there of female friendship that was a lot of fun and nice to see, because we don't often get really in-depth shows or media representations of like a healthy female friendship.
Yeah, it's true.
And also Wikipedia says that Nikki is bisexual and that she would love anyone. And also she had a secret crush on Mallory Book, who is the other lawyer in the firm.
Mallory? Oh, I liked how they got together again, the Mallory, or together again. I liked how they kind of then made it a bit more that, because they started out with women being competitive with each other with that Mallory woman. And then they kind of, once they got to know each other, they actually stood out. They stood up for each other and defended each other. And it wasn't like this bitch fight situation kind of thing where you're trying to get the other person down. But it was way more of like, I'm looking out for you. I see you're in trouble. And this is what we can do with it. And more like this, let's support each other instead of tear each other down. So that I've really, really enjoyed as well.
Mm-hmm. I love it as well. And you know, the role of Mallory Book, the other lawyer at the firm, the female lawyer, like she was badass. Like she was so cool. And to see a woman like in the courtroom in the courtroom, like doing a fantastic job, being badass, being like just, I don't know, it was really empowering just to see women doing a kick-ass job.
Yeah.
At their jobs. And also having fun, because that's what the show was about, is women having fun, women taking back their joy, women just experiencing happiness, like and taking back that power that misogyny and the patriarchy try to take away at every step of the way. And women are just like, nope, we're still awesome. Stop it. Like we're having fun.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. I also kind of loved how they solved that situation with that guy who can die and then wake up again or something. And then who was married to like so many people.
Oh, yes.
And then just Nikki just organized it. And like, it wasn't this one size fits all solution where it's about everybody gets money, but everybody got what they needed. Everybody got what they needed from it. And it was just a really fun side story, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great seeing like empowered women taking their own like creative solutions to problems that like your standard cis man won't see.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Rick also says that the entire soundtrack was all female artists as well, which was a nice touch and also slapped hard.
True. It was very good music.
Way more thought into this being like a show for women than any other one was. Because if the writers mm-hmm. were mostly women, if the cast is like, mostly women, actually, women in the main roles, and the soundtrack is all women, that's not an accident.
No. And so I think that everything in this show was intentional.
Yeah.
Like intentional to empower women and to step above the patriarchy. Like the whole show.
Also, I feel the way otherwise, because you said, yes, in the end, it's annoying that it was all about getting a man, which was the end of it somehow. But I also feel it wasn't like that during it. It was kind of mm-hmm. like it was. I think the main story about it was that she wanted to be loved for herself, but she for quite a few episodes she had no intentions of having a relationship. She just wanted to fuck, right? And like it's same thing mm-hmm. with Daredevil. It could have been her main intention was to get into bed with him and not do like the dating thing, which is totally fair and valid, and men do it all the time, but women get like shunned for it, right? And she was just like, yeah, then let's not mm-hmm. do the thing. Let's just get into. So she was actually very deliberate and very, I do what I want to fucking do. And if I just want to bonk someone, then I want to bonk someone. I really appreciated mm-hmm. that as well. Because people, otherwise, it's always,
I did too.
True love and blah, 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 and whatever. And even though she ended, like, in the end up with a man, like you say, like it was Daredevil and whatever. But I feel like it wasn't mainly about, I want to find the love of my life. I just rather want to find someone who loves mm-hmm. me for me. And in the end, it was more about having to love herself to find someone that loves her for her. But it doesn't necessarily, her entire life. And she said it. She's so happy now. Even if she doesn't have a partner, she's so happy now. And everything mm-hmm. is going well. But everybody else is constantly talking about, do you have a boyfriend, or are you engaged or married or whatever? And if you're not, then that doesn't count. Like, no other achievement in the world mm-hmm. matters aside from whether or not you have a partner or not. And she was like, actually, I have a really great job. I'm doing great. I have fun in my life and whatever.
And like, I think that was the role of the wedding, like, to go and experience all these people that she went to high school with, college with, whatever, and them being like, oh, you're not married. Oh, you don't have a boyfriend. Oh, you don't have children. And she's like, yeah, but I'm awesome. I'm doing great. I have a career. Like, why don't you give a shit about that? Mm-hmm. And like, that's also shining that light on like what we think of achievements for women. Like,
100%.
Because it's not every woman wants the same thing out of life. And what success looks like for you doesn't mean that that's what success looks like for me. Yeah. And we all define it differently.
Yep. 100%.
I will say, though, that I really love Daredevil. I really love Charlie Cox. And it was really cool to see him in the show. It was very exciting.
Will I get booed out of the room now when I say I've never watched Daredevil?
You should. I'm not going to boo you out of the room because I think it's a bit more one of the nicher Marvel shows. But it's excellent. It's very, very good.
Yeah. Okay. The weirdest watching it, I see him at Disney Plus. I'm like, okay.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. The last scene when dad asked about taste. Kids, I was like, not everybody wants kids. Yeah, it's true.
Mm-hmm. And Tom makes a good point there that Daredevil dude, the morning after walk, like the walk of shame, as they always call it, which was cool to see after like the one night stand, which obviously didn't turn into more than that, but it was nice to see a man doing it.
No, but overall I think great. Really, really hope they continue to do it, because I'm genuinely just mm-hmm. always worried for, because in this time and age, time and day of streaming situations and money decisions, and a lot of people like don't want to, like, if it's not super successful and worth monetary, it has monetary worth, then people are going to not gonna create more seasons of it, and I really hope they're gonna do that despite or because of everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like to spite everything else.
Oh yeah, 100%, like to spite everything else, because fuck all of you wankers. Yeah. And also exactly. Sometimes things, like, are so, yeah, go ahead. I think sometimes things are so niche, but that doesn't mean, and you can't make create for the entire population, but niche things are also worthy to exist, right? So if everything is made, if it's driven by monetary decisions, then it's going to be a problem, because obviously they had a lot of like really bad press and really shit reviews, because obviously all the angry little shitheads are going to go and like review bomb it. But that doesn't mean like that a lot of other people wouldn't thrive from having this show and would be excited about having this show. So I really hope they do.
I agree. More of this stuff, more She-Hulk, please. And thank you. I loved it. I know we were critical, but we both loved it.
Yeah. We just shat on it for like almost an hour, but we really, really liked it. It is definitely in the top of my thingies. In the top of my favorite Marvel
films. Like it's up there. I was saying to somebody actually quite recently, I was like, I don't have a favorite. Like, I don't have a favorite Marvel show. I love them all, and they're all so good, and I love them all for such different reasons that there's not one that I'm like, that's my favorite. And then there's not one that I'm like, that's not my favorite. Like, I hate it. Like, I love them all. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just like that much of a Marvel, like, cinematic fangirl that they can do no wrong for me, but
yeah,
so far they haven't.
I don't know, I think they can do wrong for me.
Oh, but Tom makes a good point. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the best. You're right, Tom, thank you. I take it all back, it's S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely say that I have like a bunch that are like definitely in my top, and then I will have issues ranking it, really. Then I would need to get really critical to be able to say, okay, this is my favorite because of this and this and that. But yeah, like I definitely, like with the movies, I feel like I do, it's easy for me because I still love Thor Ragnarok, is still my favorite Marvel movie of all time. And then it's like then series wise probably also would depend on my mood. But definitely She-Hulk is definitely up there. Taunt says, I think She-Hulk was just a bit of a jump from Miss Marvel, which had a tight story. That's true.
It's true. I love them.
What I just really love about it is that they just try so much out in the series. Like there's so many, every series is different and for someone else, and it's so obvious that it's not that it's that is, they don't all create like they don't have this all this mold that if that everything every series has to fit in, but like they are so obviously different and made for a different kind of audience while still being in the Marvel universe, and I think that's amazing. Love it.
Agree.
Cool. I think that's it, right? Or do you have something more to say?
No, I think I'm talked out. I loved it. It was great. Bring on the next season. Thank you.
Perfect. Amazing.
Yeah. So we are off for 2 weeks because I have a wedding and then I'm going to England and I'm just not going to be around. So we will see you in 2 weeks. With another amazing episode of Geek Herring. Yes. But in the meantime, you can come hang out on Discord, geekherring.com/Discord, where we will still be chatting and doing all the shit over there in the Discords.
Exactly. So see you in 2 weeks for another amazing episode of Geek Herring.
Bye.
Bye.
If you like this episode of Geek Herring, why not leave us an iTunes review? You can also find us on social at Geek Herring and over on geekherring.com.